Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and we're continuing our study in the scriptures today, going through the Bible for the most part, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse, leaving no stone unturned. Leaving nothing out. Last time we left off, we were in the epistle of Paul to Titus. And of course, epistle is a letter. So here we have a letter that he wrote to Titus. Exhortations for Titus, chapter 1, of course, was an exhortation to Titus. Paul says, "My own son, after the common faith." So here we have a young man that Paul has, mentored, I guess would be the right word. We're continuing here in chapter 2. We'll just pick up at verse 1 there, so we get the continuity. He says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience." The aged women, and that is the older women. We're not talking about someone who's ready to die here, but I think aged would apply to anyone 40 and upward, mature would be a better word here, and also matured with age. So the mature women, and of course aged here, for the women's part, at least referring to those that are no longer of childbearing age or are coming to the end of their childbearing age, by the instruction that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, and of course self-controlled, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And speaking of a definition for blasphemy, Paul says here that if you're professing one thing, but your life declares something else, that you are blaspheming the word of God. "Young men will likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a good pattern," or a pattern of good works, "in doctrine, showing gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned." And I believe that's about where we picked up. Let me see. Is that where we picked up? We'll see what my bookmark says here. That's pretty close. "So in all things, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works." And we need to work on that pattern. The pattern of good works means that we can look back and we see in our past a pattern of good works. It's not good intentions or what you would like to do or what you say you're going to do, but it's when you look back on what you have done and you see a pattern of good works. Others can see a pattern of good works. He continues, "In doctrine, uncorruptness," or showing uncorruptness, "not allowing your doctrine to be corrupted." And that's what I endeavor to do here on my program, Cross the Border, and my biblical studies, which I do on the air here and teach doctrine, going through the scripture verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, not glossing over anything just because it's uncomfortable. And yes, I have felt a discomfort, and early on, especially over some issues of speaking the truth and then coming up against the resistance. It's hard to be different. It's hard to go against the norm. But the more you do it, the easier it gets. But Paul says here that in doctrine, showing uncorruptness. And that's what the Holy Spirit has prompted me to do, is not to allow the social norms, the societal norms, and what is accepted in society and even the corporate church influence what I see and what I teach or what I exclude by perhaps glossing over. There's a lot of glossing over. There's a lot of verses that you will never hear in the corporate church. And you can know some of these pastors in the corporate church. I attended corporate churches for a long time and never suspected that they were glossing over anything. But when I think back that there were many things which were never taught. There were many things that I never heard in the corporate church. And I believe that's what Paul is addressing here in doctrine showing uncorruptness. If you're leaving things out, you're corrupting the Word of God. And gravity. It says venerableness, probity, honesty. So being honest in your doctrine, showing uncorruptness, being honest. And I drew one illustration where people add words, and they do it all the time. They're just not honest in their doctrine. They're not honest in their interpretation of the Word of God. They're not honest having their own opinions and holding them up. Having a private interpretation, that means their own interpretation of the Word of God, rather than allowing the Word of God to interpret itself. They have an agenda, and usually their agenda is just not to be different. Or in the case of most pastors, teachers, hypocrites, their agenda is to keep the women from leaving the church and taking their husbands with them. That's right. Because of the Jezebel spirit that rules in the corporate church. I've had pastors tell me that they couldn't teach certain things because they would lose their position. Isn't that what the scribes, the Pharisees, the ones Yeshua called hypocrites, isn't that what they said? We'll lose our position. Got to take care of this Yeshua, this Nazareth problem. We're going to lose our position because all men are going after him. We'll lose our position if we teach the truth. So they continue to gloss over. Well, they need to repent. That's what they need to do. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. And there's a lot of people who will condemn sound speech, but they won't condemn it using the Word of God. They'll condemn it using lies, opinion, and innuendo, and ad hominem attacks. Paul's instructions to Titus to the men, women, whatever age in the churches where he is teaching them conduct, how they ought to behave. He talks about sound speech that cannot be condemned, and of course not condemned by the Word of God, that can't be gainsaid. That he continues here in chapter 2 and verse 8, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And of course, we know what they do now. They bring false witnesses, and they do make up evil against you if they really want to attack you. But having no evil, no real evil thing to say against you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. And here we have, I guess you could, servant, whatever capacity. Many were slaves in that day. Many were bond servants, working off their debts. For whatever reason, we have plenty of servants today working off their debts. We have an entire nation has been taken into slavery. We have many that have signed up for slavery for some benefit or other, so that the government or Caesar will take care of them when they get old. We have many that borrow and go to the bankers and give them notes for which they get money to buy goods that they're willing to work off and become slaves for the rest of their lives for. plenty of slaves out there. Slavery has never changed. You see all these high-minded people that have been brainwashed in the public fool system and by the media into believing that slavery in America, pre-Civil War, was some unique thing in history for which America needed to be destroyed, and that Lincoln, the apotheosis of Lincoln, the god Lincoln, did the right thing in destroying America's form in government to free the slaves. You know, what a bunch of lies. What an abomination for people to believe those lies. He changed the form of this government. Slaves will always have. There was nothing special or unique. And slavery as an institution, the way it was in America, was dying anyway. The economies were changing. The introduction of the gin mill, or the cotton gin, and many other mechanizations were bringing slavery to an end as it was. In the form it was, it was coming to an end on its own. But all these high-minded people, wishing to have a god, being so brainwashed by the apotheosis of Abraham Lincoln, imputing some righteousness to him that did not belong to him, because if they studied any further, rather than just believe the brainwashing and mind control that they've had pumped into their minds, they would know that Lincoln did not start the Civil War to end slavery. No, he freed the slaves in an effort to bolster his war effort. It's like going into another country and enlisting half of the population that's to fight on your side. Basically, that's all what he was doing. Because after the Civil War, the slaves that were freed were treated despicably. And that's another part of history. But we have slaves with us always. It's just the form of slavery has changed. People, bond servants, they sell their souls for mammon, for things. Remember what Yahshua, Jesus said? He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And all these things, and he was talking about whatever things you have need of in your life, food, housing, clothing, transportation, the things that you need will be added to you. Because he said, after all these things do the nation seek. That means he's saying that this is what people put first. This is what the unbelievers, because he said Gentiles, and speaking in Israel, well, Israel, where they were the believers, they believed in the Heavenly Father, the God of the universe, and they had faith in his Messiah and his plan for redemption. And the unbelievers, or Gentiles, well, what did they do? They were going after things. Of course, we had all of the reprobates doing their abomination and going after things in Israel, too. No doubt about that. They were the unbelievers, accounted among the Gentiles or unbelievers. Then that's what unbelievers go after, things. Have you mortgaged your life for things? Have you signed up for benefits from another god? Who do you serve, God or mammon? Are you a slave? And Paul, a lot of people were slaves, not of their own choosing, some taken captive. Some fell into it and found themselves in the newness of life, finding the Messiah, finding forgiveness in his shed blood, but in the position or condition, I should say, of being slaves or bond servants. So Paul is speaking to these servants, these bond servants, these slaves. And you know, another thing that comes to mind is Yahshua, when the girl poured the expensive ointment on him, and he said that there would be, wherever the gospel is preached, that this would be spoken of as a memorial for what she has done, he also said, "You always have the poor with you, but me you don't always have." So we always have the poor. And we talked about the war on poverty, and like I said, they thought they were going to vanquish poverty. No. It was really an excuse for them to enrich themselves and their friends, but they got the people to believe the lie, the war on poverty, and we're going to put an end to poverty. We're going to put an end to the poor. Well, it didn't work out too well. It just impoverished more people. So the poor you always have with you, and so I'll apply that as a maxim also to slaves. We will always have slaves with us. The slaves you will always have with you. No, Lincoln didn't get rid of slavery. He didn't even attempt to get rid of slavery. That's right. He did not even attempt. It was not his purpose at all. And you can read that from his own speeches and his own writings. It was not his intention at all. So the apotheosis of Lincoln for ending slavery, and apotheosis is making him a god. That's what it means. We make gods out of men and worship them. And when anyone speaks against their gods, people get angry. And that's why a lot of people get angry with me, because I speak against their gods. The apotheosis of Lincoln is based on a deception. It's based on a falsity. That's right. Some people say that he repented in his last days, and I hope he did. And I hope, like the thief on the one side of the Messiah, who repented on the cross, got the word that this day you will be with me in paradise. I hope he did, but I will never elevate him to the status of God. I will not honor the apotheosis of a man, especially based on a falsity. I will not worship a man. He was a terrible man. The things that he did were terrible. He destroyed a free nation of free, independent states and converted the form of our nation from a confederation or a federation of free states into one fascist nation held together by force. And I'll say it again, now that I'm on it. Lincoln accomplished in America what Hitler failed to do in Europe. And that makes all of the Lincoln worshippers, oh, that really makes them mad. I can feel a few faces turning red out there. I can see the steam coming out of some ears. That's right. Lincoln accomplished. Undeniable fact. Undeniable fact. That's what really makes them angry, is because there's no defense. It's the truth. He accomplished in America what Hitler failed to do in Europe. So we move on. Speaking of slavery and what it has to do with us, exhort servants, slaves, servants, bond servants, by whatever means, to be obedient to their masters. You know, I like these guys. They got this movement in the so-called Patriot movement. And of course, who their pater is, I don't know, because Patriot refers to the father. And perhaps they think that they're aligning themselves with the founding fathers, you know, that group of people that nobody really knows. And I believe half of them were traitors myself. But they did some good things. I think I would side more with the anti-federalists who are against the Constitution than with the federalists. Seeing that the federalists were going to win out, at least they had imputed those Bill of Rights, those 10 amendments to the Constitution, to preserve some liberty for some time in the beast that rose up out of the earth. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back in a few minutes.